Coming up on Inside the Cleveland Browns, we catch up with Browns alumni.
We go back to the diamond to see which Browns are true multi-sport athletes.
And we go one-on-one with Browns head coach Mike Pettine.
All that and more coming up next.
Good morning, Dog Pound. Welcome to Inside the Cleveland Browns. I'm Dustin Fox alongside Sarah Carnes. As always, Sarah, we've got a big show.
We do. We have a lot in store for you because we're getting ready for training camp and we want to catch you up on everything that's happened so far this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of my favorite moments was getting to see Cameron Irving explore Cleveland the day after the draft for the very first time.
Dog
Pound. That dog.
Number 74. It's crazy, man. It's just the game day.
Just for game day.
Man, it's crazy because it's just still so hard to believe, but man, this is home now. Home. Feels good, man. I can't wait till the day I come in here the first time, suit up and run out on that field, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. Let's go check out the field, man. Let's go do it. So we run now. Dog Pound, what's good? Well, this joint big. I didn't realize it was that big in here. How many of this hole?
67,500.
This look bigger than Florida State Stadium. Hey, man, this is cool, man. It's, man. I got thrown back on, man. I might shed a tear real quick, man. Hold up. I mean, this is going to be crazy. I already know. I seen games on TV in this stadium, and I hear the fans yelling on TV, so I already know it's gonna be crazy when I hear it in person. That's when I'm gonna realize, for real, that I'm here playing in the NFL, man. My name, and I stood up and gave away to the crowd. I mean, it was one of the best feelings I ever had because, you know, I'm from Moultrie. I never felt nothing like that before.
All right, I'm going to be the difficult tourist here. Welcome to Cleveland.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can we get a picture?
Yeah, that's
fine. Do you want me to take it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
That was amazing. I ain't never had no feeling like that before in my life. And I mean, the fans here in Cleveland gonna continue to make me feel that way. I can tell.
Well, the fans were definitely excited to see Cameron Irving. And I'll tell you what, Sarah, Wait till you see this guy on the field.
I know. I can't wait. I can't believe we're only 3 days away from training camp. I don't know about you, but it feels like it was just yesterday that we were at the draft.
The time is flying by. The guys will be suiting up before you know it. All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here because when we come back, Thomas gets a piece of history in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we get an exclusive look inside the Browns weight room to learn the tricks of being an elite athlete.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Joe Thomas is the only offensive lineman to make it to the Pro Bowl in his first 8 seasons. And for that, the Pro Football Hall of Fame requested his 2015 Pro Bowl jersey to put on display.
To have my jersey go into the Hall of Fame is a really, really special feeling. When I heard about it, I kind of got that funny feeling all over.
Joe Thomas, when he was selected to the Pro Bowl this year, set NFL record. He's the first offensive lineman in NFL history to be named to 8 straight Pro Bowls. We contacted the Cleveland Browns and asked them, you know, if we could honor Joe in some fashion, and they contacted him. It's one of the few instances where the player gets to keep all their equipment from the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Joe's a special guy. He's been here since I've been here. You know, congrats to him. I mean, what a record he's got. And we've kind of got our little thing going that every game day I'm the one who hooks him up. So, you know, it was nice that you guys were here to film me taking the stuff off. He's got a nice little place in my heart, and congrats to him again.
We had two former Pro Bowlers themselves, Ernest Byner and Kevin Mack, help us put Joe Thomas's artifacts on display. It was a very unique opportunity from two Cleveland Browns legends to a current Pro Bowler. Putting his stuff on exhibit was quite special. The NFL changed the format to kind of a team draft and changed the uniforms a little bit. And now there's stars for each Pro Bowl, so there's 8 stars for Joe Thomas. There's not a lot of guys with 8 Pro Bowls to their name. You know, he's one of the most decorated offensive linemen out there, so we were really happy to honor him here with this exhibit.
I think any player that ever steps on a football field ends up dreaming about maybe someday having a little piece of themselves in the Hall of Fame. And to have my jersey in there, being the only offensive lineman in NFL history to make 8 straight Pro Bowls to start their career, is something that's really special, and it's still kind of hard to believe. It's a pinch me moment.
Sarah, we've loved watching Joe play for the past 8 seasons, and if he continues this success, you know there's no question he's going to have a bust in the Hall of Fame. What's it going to look like?
I know. I just love Joe on and off the field. And someone else helping him and the rest of the team on the field is strength and conditioning coach Paul Ricci.
My name is Paul Ricci. I'm the head strength and conditioning coach. This is my second year with the Browns. I was hired by Mike Pettine. I had worked with him previously in Baltimore and with the Jets in New York. Right now, basically we're getting guys from all different places, and they've been training in all different ways, and we assess where they're at physically. And with keeping in mind OTA starting soon, we've got to get them in the best possible shape to practice for the coaches. We sit down with the coaching staff and discuss what the demands are going to be on the players, and then we work backwards towards when they get here, and we put a plan together so hopefully it ramps them up ready to go for camp and they're available to practice and show what they can do. The focus is to get them on the field as soon as possible and keep them on the field. I've seen a lot of the videos that are out there. You have to get some variety in and use your imagination because it can be a grind. These guys have been doing this since they were teenagers. And so if they can train safely and use a bunch of different methods, I think it's terrific. it's a little different than when we started or when I was a player. There was no internet, so you did the same kind of stuff. It's just nobody knew about it except for the group that you were working with. We're always looking for new ideas, and some of them are good. Most of them we can't use in this environment, but we're always looking. The room and the philosophy has taken about a year and a half to get this where we feel we have the best situation to train our players in the league. We've got a great room. We have the equipment to maximize the efficiency now, and it's as cutting edge as out there. You look on the internet or you go visit training centers, more importantly, and you're going to see athletes at the highest level doing what we're doing. When I got here, the room didn't look like this, and we wanted to maximize the efficiency and accountability and see what our players are doing. So we talked with the head coach, basically came up with a plan, a diagram, and how much it costs. And then he took it up the chain, talked to Mr. Haslam, and said, this is what we need. And Mr. Haslam's been great, and he's given us the resources to get the job done. The biggest addition that we've had so far has been the Elite Form system in our racks, and it's 3D motion technology, and it's infrared cameras, and basically it's kind of like the movie Predator, if you could look on the other end, but it's tracking the athlete, the exact weight they're doing, and the exact velocity the bar is traveling, and the bar path. So it gives instant feedback as to whether the player is doing what he's supposed to, whether he needs to put more effort in, less effort, whether we need to change the exercise. It's terrific instant feedback. There's a competitive aspect to it that has been really good, where it takes a lot of the coaching out and guys are self-motivated. We have video boards up where the leaders for the lift are up there. So if guys are cranking out the best velocity in the lift, they're number one, and flashing lights on the board, and guys talk a lot of stuff to each other to try and get that. So from our standpoint last year, we were encouraging guys to go faster, be more explosive, all those types of terms. Now they have instant feedback and they want to be on top, so they work their butts off to get there. It's great.
Wow, no, that looked tough. I think it's hard for me to really imagine what goes into being a professional football player, but Dustin, you were there. How did your strength and conditioning coach affect you?
Well, you spend so much time with your strength and conditioning coach that they really challenge you mentally and physically, and you can obviously see the bond there that he's developing with a lot of these players. Dogtown, keep it right here, because when we come back,
we go to the first ever Browns Fan Fest to relive the excitement. And how well do the fans know the 2015 rookie draft class?
Can you please spell 7th-round draft pick Ifo Ekpre-Alomu's name? Pass.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. The Browns hosted their very first fan fest this spring, and I'm pretty sure it won't be the last.
We're here at the Cleveland Convention Center for the first annual Cleveland Browns Fan Fest. The idea really came from us talking to our fans. There are a number of us in the Cleveland Browns front office who have put on these types of events before. We talked to our fans during our fan advisory committee meeting about what types of activities they wanted to see, they wanted us to produce, and how to connect better with the fans and the players. And so this was one of their ideas, and we moved that forward. And Jimmy Haslam and Alex Shine, our team president, said go ahead and try it out in year one and see what happens. Fans have been really excited and are lining up right now to sit and watch Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine during the Chalk Talk 101 football program that we have on the stage. We have Jim Brown and Paul Warfield, who will be here later to do a presentation and talk about their legendary experiences as Pro Football Hall of Famers. We had a locker room sale that was really popular early. All the proceeds from the locker room sale go to the Cleveland Browns Foundation. So this has been all kinds of stuff. It's been great to see young and old fans all around here wearing their orange and brown. It's been a great time so far.
It's awesome. I mean, anytime you get a chance to engage with the fans, kind of give our side of the story, where the Browns are and how we feel, it's always great to see the support. I mean, the Browns is a unique place in my mind. I was in Kansas City, I was in other places, but there's nothing like being in Cleveland. Our fans are phenomenal. How they come out in groves, mean, here we are Saturday. It's a beautiful day. Guys can be outside doing other things, but they're here supporting the Browns. It means a lot to me to work every day in an organization where you know you get this kind of support.
I've always liked the Browns. My family is all about the Browns, and I thought it was really special that I got to meet them, and that's all I wanted for my birthday, so I was really happy.
It's always a great privilege to come out here and meet and greet all the Brown fans and the actual people who be out there in the dog pound that's rooting for you.
It feels great. I mean, it feels like the season starts next week. I mean, that's just the atmosphere in the building. And I mean, I kind of wish it did start next week so we could get some stuff going.
These fans have been here all day. And to be here with them, enjoying this, I mean, I'm excited.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, our fans are always there for us. And if you were in that stadium last year, you heard how loud it was. Anywhere you go around town, people are Browns fans, and they always want us to win. And, you know, that's what we're going to do for them.
Nothing says this is a Browns town like a line around the building in June waiting to support the team. So just how well did the fans know the 2015 rookies? Well, we sent Matt Wilhelm out to FanFest to find out.
What's up, Dog Pound? Matt Wilhelm here at the Cleveland Convention Center for the first ever Cleveland Browns FanFest. We're going to test these fans' knowledge and see how well they know this year's rookie class. Let's go find out.
Who is your favorite rookie from this year's class and why?
Danny Shelton. Kind of like his way he dresses.
Danny Shelton, because I think he can do a lot for the Browns team, and he's a well-needed player on that defensive pass rush.
Duke Johnson, because I like running backs.
Irving. I like Irving, man. I feel like we need an offensive tackle, you know, a guy who can play multiple positions, whether it be center, offensive tackle, or something like that.
My favorite rookie is Nate Orchard, because he's cute.
Can you please spell seventh-round draft pick Ifo Ekpre Alomu's name?
Pass.
Ifo.
E-P-F. Ham, help!
E-F-O.
E-P-H-O.
E-F-P-R-O-K-A-L-E-M-I-U.
Ekpre.
E-K-pre.
E-K. B-R-A-Y, Ekpre.
E-K-B-R-E-E.
Alomu.
O-L-M-A. Aloma what?
O-L-I-M-E-A-U.
I-F-O-E-K-P-R-E. O-L-M-O.
Who is that? And what position does he play?
I'm thinking that's Danny Shelton, defensive tackle.
Very good.
Danny Shelton.
I don't remember. I know this is a Hawaiian guy. This Duke Johnson? He looks like a running back.
Cameron Irving.
Last one.
Irving.
Which Irving? Cameron Irving?
Yeah.
That's Cameron Irving?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like Kyrie Irving to me,
doesn't it? Oh, yeah.
Last one.
It's Kyrie.
This one has to be Cameron Irving.
LeBron James.
That's Kyrie Irving. He's a point guard for the Cavs.
Last one.
Kyrie Irwin?
Kyrie Irving. We couldn't stump Dave.
All right, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't spell Ifo's name right either,
No. But
I'm pretty confident under pressure that I could tell LeBron from Kyrie.
Yeah, I'd hope so. I think that's a pretty safe bet. All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here because when we come back, you're going to get an inside peek into Joe Hayden's charity softball game that you can't get anywhere else.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. We know the Browns can play football, but during the offseason, we've also seen them take their talents to the green at the Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament and to the paintball field with a team-building exercise planned by head coach Mike Pettine. But possibly my favorite event was when the Browns and several current and alumni NFL players showed up for Joe Hayden on the softball diamond.
It's my second annual celebrity softball game, and actually we're doing it for some charities out here in Cleveland, East Lake, and for Special Olympics. People like Patrick Peterson in here, you know, Deion Sanders, Richard Sherman, just for them to come out to Cleveland and just give them an experience, man. I just want to have a good time out, you know what I'm saying, giving back to a great cause, hanging out with good people.
Hey, that's not even fair, man. He got drafted.
And you always want to help out a guy that have a positive outlook on not only on life, but giving a helping hand into the community. So when Joe asked me, I dropped everything and said I'd be there. So I'm quite sure the other guys said the same thing as well.
He played in my celebrity basketball game. So, you know, I definitely wanted to come back and show love and show them that it's bigger than football. It's about supporting each other and being there for your brothers.
You know, it's one thing to compete on Sundays, but we understand that, you know, we really like and like to see guys prosper, especially in their community endeavors. He does a great job in his community.
But he's just a fun guy to be around. You know, I think it's the reason he has so many friends, because he's a cool guy to be around. He makes you laugh. He's good people.
I think we all just gravitate to him and just try and show him some love.
I mean, everybody loves him, so everybody comes out to support him.
I mean, what he does for the community, what he's doing with the charity is amazing. So why wouldn't I want to support him?
You know, Joe's got a little brother who's, you know, he's special needs, you know, to grow up with something like that, you know, I'm sure it means a whole lot to him just to come out here and to put on a good game and to put on something for, you know, for a good cause.
Hey, I'm sitting like this the whole game, bro. Next ball.
Turned 19 today, and I'm really excited to meet Joe Haden. He's like my idol.
He's just energetic. He brings the whole city, and because number 23 is the best number in Cleveland.
Oh, he's a beast. You know, he's the reason we have so much passion on this team.
I know Patrick Peterson is really good, and I know Richard Sherman is good, too.
You know what? Can't give away my tricks. Can't give away my tricks.
I would think Deion, so I made sure he was on my team.
They got a batting cage back there, so I might need to go in there and get a little practice in. So
see if I can dust off these baseball skills.
Thank you.
Trying to come out and keep my title because I won the home run derby at Larry's event. So
I'm going to see how this home run derby go. I ain't finna be out here running no bases, is that what y'all talking about?
Now this is Cole. One of the charities that the tournament supported was the Special Olympics, which Joe Haden was just named a global ambassador for this year.
Now, Sarah, it was definitely a star-studded event, and I'll tell you what, you want to get another inside look, we mic'd up Browns Billy Winn and Chris Kirksey. It's pretty cool. Take a listen.
The most action in the infield is the shortstop.
All right, cool, so I'm straight.
Alright, cool.
Say cross my knees. Alright, cool, we good. Hey, you learn something new every day.
What? What you
I got you. Thanks for the pointer. Swing, batter. Woo! Hey. None of us really know how to play baseball, though. Except you. Come on, team! That's a lot of pressure now. I said it's a lot of pressure now.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. We good.
Man, I got a stretch. Man.
Where am I at, right here? Oh, I don't know how they do it in baseball, but I can't sit like this the whole game. Hey, I'm sitting like this the whole game, bro. Next ball. It'll hit nothing. Got him. Hey, I ain't going to get that. Prime time. Woo! See ya. Hey. You ain't going to hit nothing. Come on, man. All right, go ahead. You can pull some if you want to.
What?
OTA's over with.
Billy just happened to be on Captain Joe Hayden's very stacked team that included Deion Sanders, Johnny Manziel, and get this, Richard Sherman made a trip to town too. And they just so happened to win 41-19. But guess what? Everybody's a winner because the money raised did go to the Lake Health Foundation Captains Charities in the Special Olympics Fund. All right, Dog Pound, don't go anywhere because we'll be right back. When we return, we learn about a local chef who is getting a chance to bring his food to the Dog Pound every Sunday. And Greg Pruitt shares his enduring love of Cleveland.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Legendary running back Greg Pruitt played for the Browns for 9 seasons and came to love Cleveland as his own.
When I first came here, I came here as a young adult, and basically all my friends in my whole adult life has come from Cleveland. And as a former player, because these fans hold on to you forever. If you are a Cleveland Brown player, you are forever a special person to the Cleveland fans here. And, you know, over the years, I found that this is a great place. I still make my home here. I'll probably die here. When I go out and have opportunities to be in charity events, that there's a lot of Brown backers, and they are everywhere. When I say everywhere, they are all over the globe. You go anywhere, you're going to find a Cleveland Brown fan. And I met a lot of my friends that I have today at those functions that happened to be Cleveland Brown fans, and we became friends, and we're still friends today. You know, I knew the question was going to be asked, and I said, what's one word that can describe the Cleveland fans? And I tried to think about it, and the only word I can come up with is unbelievable. They are so passionate about this game, and they want to win so bad, and nobody's more deserving than the Cleveland Browns. So I'm hoping that they can turn things around. I was fortunate as a player to play in a Super Bowl and be a world champion, and that's an unbelievable feeling. It's something that you have to pinch yourself to make sure it's not a dream. And I appreciated the fans as a player, and I want so much for those fans to have that feeling. Nobody's more deserving. You know, a lot of times, you know, you prepare mentally for the game, but you just can't get in the right spirit to play the game until you come out and those fans pick you up and they are excited. And I look at it this way. You know, I'm a fan, I say it, and I'm just as excited. But I have one advantage. If they could play, they would play. I get to play, so I'm going to play hard. I think you compete on all levels, and you have to compete with the changing of the times. You know, a lot of teams are changing their uniforms, and we don't want to get to a point where our uniforms look like throwback uniforms. We want to keep up with the times. And we also got young fans. And with TV and the way they cover teams, a lot of young players can see a lot of teams on TV. They can actually become fans of other teams other than the city that they live in. And so to compete with that, we have to keep up with those teams. And so winning is one thing, a new look is the other thing. I'm hoping that that's a move, that the new look is going to be a new future too, that we can turn things around, because we have a great tradition. Before, we haven't played in a Super Bowl because there were no Super Bowls, but we've been in a lot of world championships. So now that we have Super Bowls, I want us to get back to where we were, to try and bring our history back and be successful. I think it's kind of a reflection of the new attitude. I don't think they're just trying to look good. I think we're trying to play good, and I think we're making the move to become a better team. There's some growing pains. Everybody has to learn, and a mistake don't make you a failure. It's a repeating the same mistake make you a failure. And I think you learn from your mistakes, and I see that happening with the team, and I look forward to the upcoming season.
I just love Greg's passion for the team and the city, and we're currently working on a story featuring Greg and the other two running backs to have worn the number 34 on the Browns, Kevin Mack and Isaiah Crowell. So make sure you tune in for that this fall.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll definitely enjoy waiting for that. See two different generations come together. I'll tell you what, another Cleveland native who is just as passionate about his city is local chef and greenhouse tavern owner Jonathan Sawyer.
Hey guys, Jonathan Sawyer here, chef owner of the Greenhouse Tavern and Restaurant Trentina, talking to you about all things Cleveland and the great food we have here at the tavern.
Our mission statement is really simple, you know, to compel the world to love and eat with us. I think the new Browns renovations are astounding, and I think the way that the organization's going with Alec and that super young, motivated, hyper-intelligent team that's there, I mean, it's only going up from here. If anyone attended games last year, especially in that beginning, it was undeniable the energy that was in there has never been there before. Every game that I've ever seen has not had the energy that the new stadium has. And I think it's emblematic of New Cleveland. And I think when we had the opportunity to open two more stands, you know, to be on both end zones and on both 50s, it was super exciting. And on the main concourse, we thought the best fit is this sausage and peppers. It's a mashup of sort of culinary traditions around the world interpreted through sausages. So we have, you know, a Mexican style one, we have an Italian one, we have a French one, and I think that they're really ground level, you know, understandable, affordable sausages. But the beauty of it is that we're using pork that's antibiotic free, hormone free, and within a couple hundred miles of the stadium itself. So it's really a win-win for everybody. Our thought process was really, what do we enjoy when we watch games? You know, when we're watching the Cleveland Football Browns, what's like top three things we have to have? You know, we're talking about, you know, fish and chips, properly cooked palm frites, maple syrup from Ohio on top of glazed donuts, you know, draft beer that's phenomenal. And we just sort of took that idea, interpreted through the Greenhouse Tavern's eye, and planted it right on the club level with the Browns. I mean, I think we're seeing the effect of the entire food system of America changing. And as we're starting to see chains mimic chefs and restaurateurs, and we're starting to see stadiums serve antibiotic-free, hormone-free pork as opposed to old hot dogs and potato chips fried in hydrogenized oil, you know, all those bad options that we grew up and we thought were good because of nostalgia, that's not necessarily going to be the future. And I think it's really exciting to see stadiums reacting as fast as they are.
I love Greenhouse Tavern. One of my favorite things on the menu, the double-decker rice and bean burger. So good. I can't wait to see what's on the menu at the stadium this fall. All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for a never-before-seen interview with head coach Mike Pettine. And find out which Browns alum can give you the most insight on all that heart-stopping action of the 80s.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. If you're a true Browns fan, you know who the Cardiac Kids are and what they meant to the city.
Well, one former Cardiac Kid, Don Cockcroft, he wrote a book all about that historic team.
This chew belongs to Don Cockcroft, one of only two men in the league who served double duty as both punter and place kicker. In his finest season as a pro, Don Cockcroft was named the leading kicker in the National Football League for 1972.
I'm Don Cockcroft. I was a third-round draft choice by the Cleveland Browns back in 1967. I came to Cleveland and had to replace one of the great kickers in the NFL, Lou Groza. And once Lou got a hold of me and started working with me, along with Blanton Collier, my rookie season, I led the NFL in field goal percentage.
Don Cockcroft drills it down the middle, and the Cleveland Browns take the lead.
Cardiac Kids, everybody knows, because we won so many games in the final minutes. What was it like to be on that team? You know, it was a very unselfish team. We just never quit. You know, we knew if we could hang in there, we could win. And Sipe, of course, was MVP of the year that year. So, again, it was unique, and that was my last year. Now I look back, and I'm so glad that I had a chance to finish my entire career with the Browns and finish with that kind of a season, 1980 Cardiac Kids.
Snaps good, ball down, kicks up. It is good! It's over! Don Cockcroft takes the field goal.
So many players, like myself, did not realize what we were doing in 1980 for the city of Cleveland and for Browns fans. Winning those games in the final seconds. We knew what was happening and we were excited, but it wasn't until later it dawned on us that the city was hurting back then. What hope we gave for the city of Cleveland. Everywhere I went, of course, I'm now reacquainted with Browns fans and whatever, and they all talked about the 19th. Don, tell us about, you know, 1980. Where's Brian Sipe? Where's Calvin Hill? Where's the Pruitts? I mean, it was like family. I mean, for 5 or 6 years, that's all I heard about, even, you know, 20-some years later. And then I finally decided, why don't I try to recapture that season? I tell people that this really is a book about life more than it is a book about football, because it's about individuals, it's about players and coaches. I don't think anybody's going to argue there's never a more loyal fan base than there is with the Cleveland Browns. Even in my era, we had some shaky years. Those people, 70, 75, 80,000 people still came to the game. And it's still happening. And the Browns, as we all know, have gone through some really tough times. And so it's impossible to explain. As I go out and do book signings and meet Browns fans, and these guys, they'll never give up on the Cleveland Browns. And God bless them. My book is dedicated to Cleveland Browns fans, and there's that special reason for that.
Well, the Cardiac Kids are one of the most prized possessions of Cleveland. Another jewel of Ohio are the men and women in Ada working at the Wilson factory. They make every single football used in the National Football League.
Every day here we make between 3,000 and 4,000 footballs. They're all game balls for gameplay, NFL, CFL, NCAA, high school, junior high, youth league, midget league. So annually, 700,000 approximately. Since 1941, every point scored in the NFL has been with a Wilson football. A lot of people refer to it as a pigskin. It's actually cowhide. And making a football is actually more than a job. We call it a craft, because you have to be able to sew, you have to be able to lace a football, and most of it's all done by hand. It is a huge source of pride for the community of Ada that the NFL football is made here. I mean, it says Wilson NFL on a water tower. When they do the kickoff or show a great catch or something, you think, wow, we made that football right there in Ada, and everybody here is very proud of that. Each NFL team uses approximately 1,000 footballs a year. For the Super Bowl, when we find out who's in the game, we have to put the team name on. So we're here that Sunday night during championship game waiting till the game's over. When they kick off the Super Bowl, that's our factory's finest moment. The people here are saying to themselves, I wonder if I laced that football, I wonder if I sewed it. And it's a big deal. I think it's the biggest sporting event in the world. And to be the focal point of that kickoff, just great. My dream has been to stamp Cleveland Browns on a Super Bowl football. And I think they're getting closer.
Oh my goodness, it almost looked like some of that footage was on fast forward, but I promise that's just the skill of the team there. Stay tuned, we'll be right back with a one-on-one with Coach Pettine that you won't see anywhere else.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Well, fresh off the final practice of veteran minicamp, head coach Mike Pettine sat down with us to discuss how he thought the team performed this offseason and what we can expect for this year's training camp.
Coach, how do you feel about the offseason so far and where the team is at now?
Encouraged, cautiously optimistic. I think we had a very productive spring. That we made several changes to the roster. I feel we've improved our depth dramatically. We've gotten healthy, or at least healthier. Feel good about that. Headed towards training camp. So there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic, but at the same time, know that while we like where we are, there's a lot of work will have to be done between now and the opener for us to accomplish what we want to accomplish.
You come out of those OTAs, which was very much an install period, and you get into this mini camp. What were you hoping to get out of mini camp, and how pleased were you with the mini camp?
Very pleased because we were able to circle back with the installations. We threw a lot at our guys, and that's what the spring is for. You want to find out, you know, mentally, how are you? So we want to challenge our guys and throw a lot at them and kind of wait to the point where you start to get to some complaints, or you have guys that are normally on point with the installation start to have a couple busts here and there. And then you realize, like, hey, this might be a decent amount. So our mini camp ended up being just kind of a best hits installation. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was real positive. We feel that we got a lot out of it. and it gave us a good dose of momentum headed into training camp.
The minicamp seemed like the offense kind of got it going. Josh McCown had some very good days. The first team offense looked pretty sharp. How happy are you with what this offense has done, and John DeFilippo in particular, leading them to this point?
You know, very pleased, because we threw a lot at them, and they proved that they were able to handle it. I feel this is one of our strengths is a very smart football team that we'll be able to do a lot. Anytime you can have that blend of solid old-school fundamentals with cutting-edge scheme and high volume, that you're going to maximize your chances to be successful. But we like the skill set that we have, that we've been able to add that variety to take what we had the existing guys in the room and add a Dwayne Bowe and a Brian Hartline to the receiving room, to in the backfield, add a Duke Johnson through the draft, a Malcolm Johnson that gives us a versatile skill set at fullback, to add a Rob Hauser at tight end, to add Cam Irving to the offensive line, to what we feel, as I said, is one of the better ones in the league, and now just to improve from a depth standpoint. We're excited, but I think all NFL teams are excited this part of the year. But we feel we have a good plan moving forward, and very much looking forward to training camp.
Defense in the second year, say now you're getting into graduate level stuff. When you get to graduate school, grades are a little tougher. How are you pleased with the defense and how they've come along so far?
Very pleased, because we've thrown a lot at them. We've taken that next step in the learning process, went back and looked at, okay, these were some of the things that teams did against us last year that we need to make sure that we have cleaned up. And then just naturally going against our offense and all the different looks that they give, as we already talked about, there's no substitute for that work. And that's why I feel that we've really tested each other, both sides of the ball schematically. And that's one of the reasons that we're as encouraged as we are heading into the fall.
If you could single out one or two players on offense or defense for their work this offseason who have really stood out to you, who would they be?
The guy offensively that's been very impressive in all phases is Josh McCown, that he's come in and grabbed a hold of this offense and put his signature on it and is demanding accountability, but he demands it in the right way. And he's been a great leader, not just in the quarterback room, but in the offensive room as well. So we're pleased with where he is. Defensively, I think the name that keeps popping up there is Kaywan Williams. I think made a real commitment from a physical standpoint from when the season ended and came back. Changed his body, body fat down, lean muscle mass up. His movement skills have always been good, but he's taken that next step. I think he realizes that if he can stay healthy, that he could be a heck of a contributor for us in the secondary.
All right, final one. Coach, what are you looking forward to the most with training camp?
The competition that we've met as a coaching staff and kind of discussed each player on the roster and ranked the positions, and we have a pretty good sense for where those competition hotspots are going to be, and it's going to be some tough decisions that are going to have to be made, and I know that a lot of these guys are very determined to make those decisions, difficult ones, so by no means is this roster set at all, where it's there'll be some the tendency for maybe some complacency to set in and, hey, I just got to make it through camp, but I'm guaranteed a spot. That's not true with very many positions. So the competition part will be great. Those are all good problems to have. You know you're building the roster the right way when you look at it and say, wow, we're going to have a hard time not just figuring out the 53, but also who are we going to have up on game day. I know it's a little early to start doing that, but as a coach, it's
you do it.
Never too early.
Right.
You know, Dustin, there are so many position battles that are going to go on during training camp and the preseason games. I can't wait to see. It's going to be a crazy couple weeks.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be insane. Can't wait till it gets here. Browns fans, make sure you check out the Browns mobile app every day in training camp this week. And we'll be back next Sunday, followed by a brand new Dog Pound report that will catch you up on all the action that you might have missed during the week. For Sarah Carnes, I'm Dustin Fox. See you guys next week.